Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Daniel, and I'm one of the pastors here at The Rocks Church. It is my privilege to extend my personal welcome to all of you here this morning, especially for those of you who are newer to our church. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us. I think that's super. That's amazing. I also want to welcome our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in as well. And next welcome dinner, as Michaela has said, is actually happening tonight. So for any one of you who've been coming for, maybe this is your first time or you've been here for several weeks and you want to know more about our church, what we do here, what is our vision, our mission, what makes us tick and all that, please come and join us. It's not a membership class. There's no strings attached. It's a get to know you session. We want to get to know you and we want you to get to know us as well so that you can make a better decision. If you're looking for a home church, for example, then after this, maybe you can make a better decision whether this church is for you or not. So please go to the connection desk after, or you can also sign up online at therocks.info. We'd love to see you there tonight at what time? 6:30 p.m. It'll be fantastic. Okay. Now, as John has mentioned, once a year we do this generosity and giving campaign that we're calling Kingdom Builders, and this year our theme is Legacy. And I want to explain to you what Kingdom Builders is all about to refresh your memory and also to for those of you who are new to our church. Kingdom Builders is actually an annual generosity campaign where we as the Rocks family commit together to give a percentage of our income for 1 year. That's the length of the period, so we can continue to serve our community with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, if you grew up in church, maybe you've heard of the term tithe or tithing before. That means giving 10% of your income to God through the local church. We believe the New Testament teaching is percentage giving. 10% is a good guide, but we don't want to give out of legalism because we have to. We want to give cheerfully. That's the New Testament principle. And the Apostle Paul actually never mentioned the specific percentage, but 10%, I believe, is a good guideline. If you are not used to giving, maybe you want to be generous. You want to give 10%, but because of pre-commitment financially with this and that, you're not able to give 10% yet. Don't feel judged. Don't feel condemned. Make 10% your target. That's what we always teach in this church. Make 10% your target giving level. But for those of you who've been following Christ for a while, maybe you've been giving 10% for a long time, for many years. I also want to encourage you to not make 10% your ceiling. So 10% should be your target and your minimum as well, depending on where you are in your generosity journey. So I don't want you to be legalistic about it. And in this church, we all believe in the grace of God. God deals with us on the basis of His grace. He gave us His Son as a free gift for us so that we can have eternal life. And that's why I think in our day-to-day dealing with God as well, we shouldn't deal with Him on the basis of tit for tat, but on the basis of grace as well. And this is a pre-commitment. So it's actually your regular giving. If you are wondering, like, what is Kingdom Builders? Is it different from our regular giving? Kingdom Builders is actually your regular percentage giving, your regular giving. We just ask you, for those of you who call this church home, to commit for 1 year so that we know how much you will give throughout the year, so that we can plan better. Because we want to be responsible as stewards of God's possession, so that we can budget our spending, okay? So that's the reason why we want to ask people who are committed to this church, people who call this church family, to give an indication how much you plan to give for the next year through Kingdom Builders. So that's going to happen next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, on the 30th of June. It's going to be fantastic. It doesn't matter how much you give. For me, the amount is not really important. Remember the story of the poor widow who gave to the temple? She gave only very few little coins, but Jesus commended her giving because of her sacrifice. So what God wants to see is the spirit of generosity from within you, the spirit of sacrifice. It doesn't matter the amount. For some of you, $50 may be a big amount per month. For others of you, $500, $5,000 is not even scratching the surface of what God has given you. So it doesn't matter what the amount is. As long as we come in unity together, different amount equals sacrifice. That's what we are aiming for. All right? But before we continue, I want to put some disclaimers, especially for those of you who are visiting our church. Okay, this is important. I said this last week, but I think it's important to repeat it again. Disclaimer number one is this. We don't want anything from you. Okay? Some of you, when you hear money and church in the same sentence, you get nervous, you get skeptical, and for the right reason. Because immediately you think of pastors, TV evangelists who wear $1,000 Armani suits, drive around in nice cars, flying around in their private jets, and you're thinking, no, not me. Well, let me be the first person to say to you this morning, if that's what you're thinking, it's never gonna happen in this church. All right? We will not do that to you in this church. I drive a 2012 Honda Civic. Yes, I do. And John's Corolla is even older and uglier, let me tell you. He can't get any girlfriend in that car. As long as he drives that car, he's never going to get married. So somebody help him, okay? But we're never going to do that to you in this church. But we do want to teach you to be generous, though, because I believe that's God's plan for your life as well. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You know you can do a lot of good things with your resources. So give to charities. Find a church from the phone book and give to that church. I don't care. As long as we all learn to be generous together and not live just for ourselves. So we don't want anything from you. Okay, and that's genuine from the bottom of our hearts. Number two, we are not in financial trouble. Okay? We're not hungry. Look at me, you know? We're not in financial trouble. And in fact, our giving last year was the highest that it's ever been in the history of our church. But we do have needs in the church. We have mortgage to service. We have bills to pay. We got ministry to do, people to serve. This year, we plan to increase our missions budget to 100,000 because we believe as we get larger, we can bless people more. We can bless this community more. We can bless overseas missions more. So we have needs, and I believe God will supply all our needs according to not our riches, but according to His glorious riches in Jesus Christ. And He's using us. Isn't that a privilege? He's using us to partner with Him in winning people to Jesus Christ. So that's number two. We're not in financial trouble. Don't worry about it. Number three, we don't talk about this all the time. John already mentioned, we only do this once a year. From next week onward, John is going to speak about sex and end times. As just a joke. But we will do it someday. But we don't talk about this all the time, okay? So just to put your mind at ease, just in case you think, oh man, they do this every week. No, we don't. Okay, I think this is a good time for us to come to God one more time and ask Him to bless our time together as we open our minds and our hearts to hear what He has to say to us. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, thank You so much for Your presence here this morning. We're just so grateful that we can be here. And I know, Lord, for some of us, we have a lot of questions, distractions, and I pray that You help us to set them all aside so that we can get to hear from You. Thank You so much, God. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. The theme that we picked for Kingdom Builders this year is legacy. And I don't know if you know, but we've been around as a church for 15 years. This is actually our 15th year anniversary. We started our very first service on the 7th of March, 2004. And when you talk about legacy, you can't talk about legacy without talking about the past and what the legacy that has been left behind for us. And I want to introduce you to one person. Okay, and the book of Numbers says Moses was the most humble man on earth. I want to introduce you to the second most humble man on earth, and he is my pastor. His name is Pastor Iwan Kosasi. He moved from his country in Indonesia to come to Australia in the mid-80s to pastor an ethnic church here, but his heart has always been for the nations. His heart has always been for Australia. So early on, when I moved to Perth in 2001, he encouraged me to serve this country, to minister to people other than our own ethnicity. So for that reason, with his encouragement, we started with a group of young people, the very first meeting in this building. I took this photo when this building was up for sale or for lease, and through prayer, after much consideration, we decided to purchase this building for $175,000. A lot of people couldn't think that we could buy this building because at the time we were only about 40 people maybe by the time. 99% were uni students, and they said, there's no way you can purchase this building. But I believe by faith that God can through us, and I challenged the students, the uni students back then, if you all give just $50 a month, it's not much, you know, you can just skip one meal a week going out, and you can do this. And true enough, not only we were able to pay off the loan, but we paid off that whole building, $175,000, within a year. Within a year, we paid off that building. And God kept growing us and growing us. And I guess the lesson for me and for all of us here this morning, for those of you who are starting a new business, for those of you who are starting a family, maybe you just moved to this city, listen to this awesome wisdom from Zechariah. Do not despise these small beginnings. For those of you who have children, do not despise them. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You see, for us here, as we journey, as we remember God's faithfulness in the life of our church, I'm thinking, you know, yesterday I met with some of the leaders. What are we really celebrating? Are we celebrating numbers? No, we're not. All right? Jesus never celebrated numbers. Okay? Jesus was not moved by numbers. Although we grew from about 40 people to now almost 1,000 people in attendance over our 3 services, but Jesus never celebrated that. Jesus didn't care about that. He was not moved by numbers. But you know what Jesus would be moved with if he were to live today on earth physically among us? Jesus would be really, really sad and moved by this number right here. Only 8% Australians go to church once a month, at least once a month. Only 8%. That means, look at that, 92% of Australians are non-church goers. And this is a Christian nation, right? A Christian nation, right? 92% of Australians are non-church goers. That means when you drove to church this morning, for every 10 houses that you pass, nine of them, right? The people inside those houses, they don't go to church. More than 9 of them. So this would move Jesus. This would not be acceptable to Jesus. It shouldn't be acceptable to us. All right? And that's why we started The Rocks from the very beginning when we started, when we were still small. We decided, we couldn't let this continue. We didn't know the statistics back then, but we knew when people think about church, they have negative thoughts more than positive thoughts about church. David Kinnaman, in his book, Unchristian, says this: when people think about church, immediately what comes to mind are these 3 words: judgmental, homophobic, and non-relevant. Judgmental, homophobic, and non-relevant. And we thought to ourselves, yeah, we love our churches that we go to, but it's right, it's correct. We would never invite people to our church because they would never enjoy it. They would be probably judged and all that. So we said, no, we need to buck this trend. We need to create a church that is welcoming, that is non-judgmental, that will express in a tangible way the love of Jesus Christ. And then I found out there's this powerful, powerful verse in the book of Acts. I didn't know it then, okay? But do you know how the church grew in the first century? It started with one person who got crucified and then he rose again, right? And that's, to me, that's the beginning of Christianity. Peter preached Jesus crucified and rose again. If someone can predict his own death and resurrection, you believe everything that he says, right? I said that many times. And it's true. Peter preached Jesus crucified and resurrected. And Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people like you and me, started following Jesus, started going to quote-unquote church. The church did not exist yet at the time. And the Jewish followers of Jesus Christ at the time, they didn't know what to do because as far as they were concerned, you know, following Jesus is the same as Judaism. You know, should we get them to be circumcised? Should we require them to do this and that, follow the Ten Commandments and all that? And they had this first church business meeting. It's recorded for us, thank God, in the book of Acts chapter 15. And if every church in Australia would listen to this, okay, if every Christian in the world would listen to this, I think we would have a totally different landscape of Christianity in this country. All right? This is the conclusion from that very first church business meeting. We should not make it difficult for people who are turning to God. we should not make it difficult for people who are turning to God. Unfortunately, plan or unplanned, realize or not realize, we make it difficult for people to come to God. And that's why, from the very outset, you know, we decided, no, we're going to make sure, even though people might misunderstand us, you know, like, oh, you're just a shallow church and all that. No, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to come to church. We will not judge them. We will not be known as a church that is against this, against that. We want to be known for a church that is for people, for the community, for whatever it is that is important to the community where we serve. And for that very reason, God has blessed us throughout the 15 years of our existence. And listen to these statistics, okay? Well, watch these statistics. 24% of the new guests that come to our church, that means they come to our church five times or less, 24% of them have not attended any church prior to attending The Rocks. And to me, that's an amazing statistic. That means almost one in four, all right, of our new guests, they're either unchurched or de-churched. And of the regular attendees, this is for newcomers, 33% of our regular attendees did not attend any church prior to visiting The Rocks. That means one-third of you who call this church home, prior to attending here, you were either unchurched or de-churched as well. And that's the number worth celebrating, because that's what Jesus came to this world for. Jesus came to this world to seek and save the lost. And that's all of us. We were at one point or another, we were lost in our sins, and Jesus came to die on the cross for you and for me. And to me, that's the only reason why the church should exist. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for people whom Jesus loved so much that he died for them. Okay? Let me tell you again, Jesus doesn't care how big your church is, but he cares that we don't make it difficult for people who are seeking God. And as long as we are here, we're not going to do that, even though that's the tendency of every church, all right? The tendency of every church, including our church, is always to look to insiders, to always to look inward. But, you know, we want to resist that pull. We want to resist that temptation more and more. Okay, for this morning, you see the sofa here. We thought we were going to do something different. Rather than telling you our win stories, telling you what God has been doing in our church, I thought we're going to get some people to come up here, and you get to listen straight from the horse's mouth how God has impacted their lives and what this church means to them, and so that we can get encouraged to know that we are on the right track in doing what God wants us to do as a church. So the first person I want to invite is Lauren Flores. Please come. Lauren serves in our young adult ministry, and she's amazing. I want Lauren to tell you her story because it's amazing. I heard it before, obviously, that's why she's here. But Lauren, can you tell us who you are and how you came to know this church and all that?
Okay. I'm Lauren, obviously. And I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor when I was younger, and my mum was a missionary's kid, and so my grandparents ministered to the Aboriginal people in like Narrogin and the Northern Territory and Bunbury. So I've actually had a legacy of really strong believers in my past, which is...
And your parents are here.
My parents are here today, wonderful. Actually. Yeah. So thank you.
Awesome. And tell me about how you told me that you were thinking of moving back to Bunbury, and then you changed your mind and God said something to you or whatever.
Yep.
Can you share about that?
So early in 2018, Gian, my husband, and I were offered a job.
By the way, this is Gian, lucky dog,
Yeah. Wherever
you are, Gian.
So we were offered a perfect job down south in the same town my parents live in. I'm a cook and he's a barista. And we were offered to set up and run a new cafe there by a really lovely Christian man who was financing it all, which was awesome. And we were on our way to move down there. We were looking at houses to rent. We were in the process of helping him set it up. And Gian also had another job offer in Perth. And through that, the process, we were quite torn. Even though we had started there, we didn't feel peace. And so Pastor Mike counseled us, and we prayed together a lot. And we were like, God, we can't figure this out on our own. Yeah. Like, this opportunity is better than what we could have imagined, mm-hmm. but it wasn't quite right. So we just left it in his hands and was like, you must show us. We don't know what to do. We're so lost. And over the next few days, we both felt that peace to stay here, to turn down this more than fantastic job opportunity. And that reason was the Rocks Church. We found home here. We found heart here. We found the heart for the people and really an open door to people who've never heard the gospel before. Because I grew up in church. I'm like a 29-year-old church veteran. We went to so many churches. And I've never seen a church designed for the people outside. It's always designed for the people inside.
Yeah.
And we just fell in love with that heart.
And that's why you stayed, and that's why you serve. Tell me where you serve again.
Well, I serve in a couple ministries. Gian and I are small group leaders for the young adults, which is awesome. We love that. We are still, I'm just a young adult.
Yeah. I'm still a young adult.
You're still young. Yeah. So I serve because of basically the vision sums it all up. Like we're a church for the unchurched. And we found that acceptance here when we arrived.
Yeah.
And so being like the hands and feet of that while we're serving is just awesome.
Thank you so much.
I'm also in the host team. I'm now a host team captain. So I get to see people walk out of Woolworths exit and straight into our church being like, oh, I thought this was the gym.
Yeah.
And like walk right in, and we get to have those chats with them and be that like, be Jesus to them. We might be the first or the only Bible they read. Like our witness.
So good. Thank you so much, Lauren. Will you give Lauren a hand for that wonderful story? Thanks so much. And I want to invite the Inc. family now to the stage as well. Jason, Mary, and Allison. Come on, let's give them a hand. So who wants to speak first? Maybe introduce your family. Jason, introduce your family to us and how you came here and all that.
Hi, I'm obviously Jason. This is Mary, and that's Allison over there. We've been coming to the Rocks just over 2 years now. You've probably seen us around church. Mary volunteers at the New Guest Lounge, Allison at Kids Church. And yes, I'm the annoying guy who thinks that just because I wear a orange vest and wave a lightsaber around, I can tell you where to park.
Okay.
When Jason and I were looking for a church, we knew that it had to cater for the whole family, and that's why a youth group was very important for Allison. And I still remember the first day we came to the Rocks, we headed out to the New Guest Lounge, and we started asking a bunch of questions about youth group, and that's when we met Abigail, one of the Ignite leaders.
I still remember the first time I met Abby. I was amazed at how friendly she was.
And a few months after that, Allison had to undergo surgery where she had her tonsils and adenoids removed.
That's when I met Chloe. She was apologetic that her voice sounded funny as she had just gotten her tonsils removed. I couldn't believe that at the same time I was about to undergo surgery, there was someone else who had recently undergone that same surgery.
Wow.
Chloe offered to
What did Chloe do?
She offered to help me if I had any questions, and she was the most supportive friend I could ever have.
So good.
And that night after the operation, we were surprised to get a visit from Abby. And she had just finished shift work, and we could tell she was exhausted, but yet she made the effort to come to the hospital.
Wow.
And I think from that moment, we knew that Ignite Youth was going to be a special place for Allison.
Wow, yeah.
I am truly grateful to the Ignite leaders. They have shown me the meaning of church family and true friendship.
Yeah, come on, Ignite leaders, yeah.
And at the end of a tough school year for Allison, two of the Ignite leaders, Abby and Paige, took Allison to Adventure World, and that's one of her favourite places in the world. And it was only after the fact that I found out that both of them had to take time off work to do that.
Wow.
I look forward to Ignite every Friday. learning about God and meeting in small groups is so much fun. During the school holidays, I enjoy hanging out with the leaders, watching a movie together, or eating lunch. Yeah. Paige even took me for my first makeup shopping trip.
So as a mother, I'm so grateful to Ignite. And we've seen the change in Allison since she's been going to Ignite. She's happier, she's more confident. And from the teaching at Ignite and the Rocks, she's gained a greater understanding of the Bible. And now she desires to invest in the next generation as well, which is why she's helping out at Woombaland.
Amazing.
And as parents, we know that, you know, teenagers might not always confide in the parents, but I'm so grateful and thankful that she's got other adults in her life that she can talk to who have her best interests at heart. So I'm really thankful to the Ignite leaders for just giving themselves selflessly and investing in the next generation.
Wow, thank you.
To all the Ignite leaders, I want to say thank you.
Yeah, wow. And Jason, I want to ask you, because I know they don't brag about this, but this is one of the most generous families here in our church. We have a lot of generous families. So I want to ask Jason one last question. How has your journey in giving been, and why do you decide to give here?
Mary and I, we've been Christians for almost 30 years. I know what you all must be thinking. Mary doesn't look a day over 25, right?
Nah.
Since we became Christians, we've always given faithfully to a church, and that continued after we got married. So since we started coming to the Rocks about 2 years ago, we started by, as Pastor Dee said, we prioritized giving 10%. And each year we've tried to increase the percentage by a little bit. I'm not sure whether some of you guys who have been to other churches where the preachers who have said something like, when you give financially, God will bless you back financially more than you've given. Unfortunately, that has not happened to us. If anything, our income has actually gone down these last few years. Pastor Dee spoke about true riches a couple of weeks ago, and that's what we've found here at the Rocks. We've found true riches at the Rocks. We've found a church family that we can belong to. That we enjoy serving in all the ministry teams that we serve in. We've got a great small group. Our leader, Clive, is here. He's a great leader. So, and we've met, and Allison enjoys Ignite, obviously, and we've met lots of really wonderful people who have blessed us immeasurably during this time. I guess Pastor Dee asked me to speak on why... Pastor Dee and me told me to share last night at about 10:30, so I'm not quite that well prepared. I'm not saying that God won't bless you financially. If you do give, he can, he might. It's just that there are other means that God can bless us. Yeah. And he has blessed us with the Rocks. But Pastor Dee wanted me to say something about why we choose to give and each year. And the main reason why we choose to give is because we believe in the mission and the vision of this church. We believe that reaching the people who are far away from God is the most important thing that we can do as believers in this lifetime. We have all eternity to hang out together, enjoy each other's company, praising God, worshiping God. But we only have this lifetime to reach the people who are far away from God. Hmm. That's why we give, because we believe in what the church is doing. Mm. That the mission and vision to reach Yan Church is the most important thing that we can do in this lifetime.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Jason, for sharing that. Will you give the Ungs a big round of applause one more time? That's amazing. I have one more story to share with you, and this one is recorded, and it's an amazing one, and you're going to enjoy this. You know, we plan our gathering here way in advance. We think about the sermon series we're going to do and all that, and sometimes we think, like, does it really matter what we do, the creative elements that we're preparing and all that? And from this testimony, you will understand why we do what we do here every Sunday, and you're going to be encouraged. So let's watch this.
Hi, I'm Alex, and this is my wife, Jess, and we've been attending The Rocks every Sunday for about a year now with our two girls, Alyssa and Leona.
Initially, I started coming to The Rocks all by myself. I really felt like something was missing in my life, but I didn't know what. I haven't been to church in over 19 years, although many friends kept asking me to come to their church. It was always awkward, intimidating, and I found it really hard to fit in. What are you doing? Initially, I started coming to The Rocks all by myself. I really felt like something was missing in my life, but I didn't know what. I haven't been to church in over 19 years, although my friends kept asking me to come to their church. It was always awkward, intimidating, and I found it really hard to fit in. But then through some old friends, God guided me to The Rocks. So I did some detective work on YouTube and stalking them on social media, and I wondered if I should give God another chance. And I'm so glad that I did. I am forever grateful for finding The Rocks, and I really felt like this was a place where I could belong before I believe. People were friendly and heartwarming, and not pushy or intimidating at all. It just felt right, even just by myself. But then The Rocks did an Avengers theme, and Alex, being a Marvel fan, I bent his arm and dragged him along and promised him free popcorn for coming to church. So that's how his story began.
Even though my kids ate all my popcorn, I really enjoyed the message that day, especially meeting the forgotten Avenger, Captain Canada, for the first time. Although I still have so many questions, I look forward to hearing the message every Sunday as we go as a family. One of my biggest appreciations is how much my kids love and look forward to coming to The Rocks every Sunday and watching the positive impact it has had in the way they love and treat each other at home.
As parents, it's our responsibility to give our kids the best start in life, give them the right values, plant the seeds early to support in their spiritual life. It's comforting to see them grateful for their lives, knowing God's love for them. Today, they're the ones that remind us when we forget to pray to God. It's quite funny, as we never usually pray in our house ever. So this has all been possible thanks to The Rocks. We are so grateful and so proud to be part of The Rocks family. Our hearts have never felt so full, and we're forever grateful for everything The Rocks staff, volunteers, and community has done for us this past year. It's been a surreal journey. I've never been so happy in my life. I believe supporting The Rocks means that more families and children who don't know God can find God no matter who they are and how far they are from God. Here is where other families can truly belong before they believe. So from my family to all the people who give so generously to this church, thank you. Because of your generosity, our family now know Jesus Christ and His love more and more. And we look forward to coming to church as a family. So please continue your support and let's change the world. Make a difference, one family at a time.
Alex and Jess are here. Would you stand? I'm going to embarrass you a little bit. They're here right now. They come here every week and it's fantastic. Wow. And I want to give my short testimony as well as to why we give. This is my personal journey together with my family, Hulda, and my son, Jaden. And just a quick three reasons why we give to this church. Number one, we want to keep growing. We don't want to rely on our commitment that we made 10 years ago. I believe we can continue to stretch in our faith. And as we learn to give, that's how we stretch our faith. That's how we increase our confidence. We increase our confidence in God that He's able to supply us with all our needs. I remember after coming back from Haiti on mission trip, we have a Compassion Sunday right here at church. And my son, Jaden, who was only like 11 at the time, I think, challenged me because we, by the time we were already sponsoring two Compassion children, we give percentage income to the church. And Jaden challenged me and asked me, Dad, can we sponsor another child? And I said, oh, Jaden, you know, it's going to cost another $60 per month to sponsor another child. We already sponsored two, but can we do another one? And that's when my wife and I decided, like, hey, we shouldn't just dismiss what Jaden said and think about, can we really? And it's not that difficult for us to rearrange our finance a little bit, change our lifestyle a little bit to sponsor another child. We want to keep growing. That's why we keep giving in this church. And number two, we want to set a good example. I don't want to ask you to do things that I'm not prepared to do myself or my family is not prepared to do ourselves. So we want to lead by example. Just like King David in the Old Testament, led by example. I believe there's a blessing when the leaders of this church, not just me, but all the leaders here, set the example by giving generously to our church. And that's why we've been able to do what we've been doing in this church. And number three, we have learned that you can never outgive God. And that's been a true experience. Like Jason said, the reward has not always been financial necessarily, but we wouldn't trade anything for the world for what we were able to see, the stories that we were able to hear because of our generosity. All right? I want to conclude by telling you a tale of two lives, a tale of two stories. And this is very, very interesting, and I believe you will find it interesting as well. I want to take you on a journey, okay? Imagine that we're all going to Cairo in Egypt, and as we walk through the dusty old streets of Cairo, turn to the left, turn to the right, pass by several signs in Arabic language, we come across this graveyard, okay? And we open the gate, and right there in the corner, there's this one graveyard that is interesting because the tombstone says William Borden, 1887 to 1913. That means he was only 25 years old when he died. Okay? So who is this man? How could a Western man be buried in some obscure little corner graveyard in Cairo, Egypt? Glad you asked. William Borden is a Yale graduate and heir to the Borden Dairy Estate. If you go to the US, Borden Milk is still very famous over there. He rejected a life of luxury in order to bring the gospel to Muslims, refusing even to buy himself a car. Borden gave away hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions. After only 4 months of zealous ministry in Egypt, he contracted spinal meningitis and died at the age of 25. As a young man, traveled through Asia and Middle East, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. So he wrote home to say, I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field. At the same time, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible, no reserves. During his college years at Yale University, he became a pillar in the Christian community. One entry in his personal journal that identified the source of his spiritual strength simply said this, this is amazing, say no to self, and yes to Jesus every time. What a remarkable young man. Upon graduation from Yale, he wrote two more words in the back of his Bible, no retreats. He turned down several high-paying job offers, enrolled in seminary, and after graduating, he went to Egypt to learn Arabic. Prior to his death, Borden wrote two more words in his Bible. Underneath the two words he already wrote, no reserves and no retreats, and now he wrote, no regrets. And if you go to Cairo, Egypt, you can still find his tombstone, and you will read this on his tombstone. A man in Christ, he arose and forsook all and followed him, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, in honor, preferring others. Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. Not too far from where William Borden was buried, you can find another tombstone. This time, it belongs to King Tut, who lived about 1300 BC, so a few thousand years before Jesus. Now, this one is a completely different tombstone. The whole area itself is amazing. It has several rooms in the burial site. Including in the burial chamber, you will find his coffin, all right, covered with gold tombstones
over gold tombstones over gold tombstones. There are literally tons of gold and silver in this whole burial site. And it's amazing because the Egyptians believed that you can take your worldly wealth with you to enjoy in the afterlife. But you know, this tons and tons of gold remained untouched until it was discovered in 1922. In 1922, 3,000 years after King Tut passed away, the gold was still there. What King Tut and a lot of people didn't know is that you can't take your wealth with you. In Psalm 49, verses 17 to 20, it says this, "For when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. In this life, they consider themselves fortunate and are applauded for their success. But they will die like all before them and never again see the light of day. People who boast of their wealth don't understand. They will die just like animals." No difference. So, the question is, what will you do with what God has entrusted with you? I believe just as Jesus came into the world, not for himself. He came not to be served, but to serve. This is our responsibility and our privilege as a Christian, to use our God-given resources to serve others. And if you ask me as a church, what next for the Rocks? Let me tell you what next for the Rocks. This is the latest statistics, 92,965 people living in this city, all right? And if McCrindle statistics is correct, only 8% of them go to church once a month, only 8% of them. That means more than 80,000 people in the city of Canning, they have not yet experienced the love of Jesus Christ. They didn't know there's a God who loved them and died on the cross for their sins. And this community is growing larger and larger. I don't know if you realize, but there are more apartment buildings being built. The street at the front are being renovated. And I want to show you this Channel 9 News presentation to tell us a little bit more of where we're going as a city and the opportunity that we have as a church. And I'll come back and conclude with a word of prayer.
Street in the southern suburbs is about to go high-tech. In a WA first, new technology will allow people to charge their cars, access Wi-Fi and security cameras in a futuristic Big Brother-style project.
This is the first look at what will be WA's first smart street, a revolutionary way to connect the people of Cannington to their suburbs. Over the next few months, Cecil Avenue will transform from this to this. Smart poles will be installed in a Big Brother-style system, allowing 24-hour surveillance of the streets. It will monitor traffic, the environment, and even have Wi-Fi. There will also be electric car chargers. The City of Canning hopes it will attract more people and businesses to the area.
The vision is to create a new southern CBD in this area, a modern hub.
The strip links Westfield Carousel to the community, which only last year underwent a $350 million redevelopment.
Oh, that's a great idea. I just live around the corner and sometimes I walk here, walk home, walk around at night, so security cameras would be good. Anything that makes it look a bit better and, you know, I'm up for it.
It's part of the city's $76 million plan to transform the area. Over the next decade, there will be plans to build 10,000 new homes, create 1,100 new businesses, and thousands of jobs.
Here on Cecil Avenue, work is well underway. Wires have been done and pipes removed. The next phase is roadworks and landscaping, and that will start in the next few days.
Henry Leonard, Nine News.
10,000 new homes, 1,100 new businesses, and the city just keeps growing. I ask myself, God, why did you place us here in this place at such a time as this? And I can almost confidently say to you, even though I didn't hear God audibly, that God chose us as a church because we have been faithful in the little. I believe the vision that we have didn't come from any one person, but it came from the heart of God, that God loves people. He loves people, especially those who are far from Him. That's why He sent His one and only Son,
to die on the cross for their sins. And it is our responsibility and privilege to continue the legacy that has been set before us, the legacy that Jesus began, the legacy of serving people without thinking about ourselves. And that's what we want to pass on to the next generation so that more and more people will know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.